Thank you for being here today and being a part of today's service. I want to just share with you, and I'm not going to preach, I'm going to read, because if I get preachy, the minutes that I have will get into the pot roast, and the pot roast may burn. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, would you? Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to read verses 3 through 7. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, and as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and of a sound mind. And the people said, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Again, thank you for standing in honor of God's word. What we have before us in our text today is, in my opinion, one of the greatest trails of faith and hope in all the scripture. And I think if there's anything today that lives in the heart of mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, and people in general. I think one of the greatest things that lives in our hope, in our heart, is we really want faith and we really want hope. You saw this demonstration before us of faith and hope and what a hope can do for us. And hope can lift us out and lift us above. So I feel like there's a need for that. And if you look at the trails of hope and faith and hope throughout Scripture, we repeatedly see those trails that the men of the Bible have done. We think about the trail of faith and hope that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had. You read that from time to time in Scripture all throughout the Old Testament. Then you come to Jacob and Judah and several generations to Boaz and Obed and then the likes of Jesse and David and then eventually Christ himself. Where men led out and showed their faith and demonstrated their faith, and they had hope in God, and later in the New Testament, hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, on this Mother's Day, we have before us a trail of faith and hope of two women. Not just women, but mothers. We have women who have bore children, and by that, they are now leading those children by example in their life. And I think among the highest callings on earth is motherhood. When you have the responsibility of having a child and carrying that child and bearing that child and bringing birth to that child in 9 months of trial and error, when you crave all kinds of crazy things like pickles and tomatoes together, all kinds of silly stuff happens in your life, but there is no higher calling than being a mother. There's a story that's woven into this short phrase of sentence of Scripture, and Paul is writing to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. In reminiscing that trail of faith and hope from which Timothy was born. Now follow me here. In verse 5, Paul calls Timothy, and he speaks to him, and he's writing this letter to him. And in verse 5, he's reminiscing of that trail of faith and hope which Timothy was born from. It was a great trail of faith and hope passed along to Timothy. And in fact, verse 5, Paul calls this faith of Timothy, genuine faith. And he further tells us that it didn't come from his daddy, ladies and gentlemen. It came from his mother. And it came from her mother as it was passed down through them. This recognizable chain of trail of hope and faith came from his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. So let's think about this morning what Paul called genuine faith. I want to talk to mamas, I'm going to talk to daddies, I want to talk to children. Let's think about what recognizable genuine faith looks like. Let's think about the genuine faith that Paul called it and what does it mean? What defines genuine faith? What does genuine faith look like? When I think about my own mother, I think about the faith she always had. And I know that her faith was genuine and real. Even though toward the end of her life she had some ups and downs, she still believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that her faith was genuine. When I see genuine faith, it means to me a kind of belief that goes beyond words. It goes beyond surface level. It goes beyond what we think into what we really do. It's a consistent faith that is lived out. And I think moms really have to live that faith out before their children, especially if you want them to come along like Timothy did, because Timothy was where he was because he watched his mom and his grandmother exhibit faith to them. I can tell you that I know in this room there are first cousins of mine who've done the same thing. They watched their mother. We watched our grandmother. We watched those who have faith. And we've seen how deep-seated that faith is. And genuine faith is faith that is genuinely deep-seated. It's lived out. It's faith that is consistent. People tell me sometimes I have real faith, and yet their consistency would beg to question that. This thing about hope, this thing about faith, it's a core thing to genuine faith, to really have some things in our heart that are solid and pure. There's some keys. Those are some key qualities, if you will, that we got to have to be a part of this Lois and Eunice kind of chain. It's the things that they had in their life. They're qualities that I've seen in mothers that I have known, and I see it even in my own mother. So what's genuine faith look like? Genuine faith is sincere faith. You ever had anybody look at you and say, no, I'm serious? I've heard mama say that to their children, and my mother said it to me several times. I'm serious. And that meant that the wrath of God, her mother, was about to fall. Good faith, real faith, genuine faith is faith that is very, very sincere. It's not shown for approval. It's not shown so you'll be accepted. It comes from real conviction. This kind of faith is practiced even when nobody's watching. How's your faith, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa? How's your faith when nobody's watching? Genuine faith involves trust. If we say that we have faith and we're trying to get along that trail of faith and hope, I want to be like Eunice and Lois and lead our children to understand, ladies and gentlemen and alike, if we want to lead our children to understand and see that faith, then that faith has really got to involve trust. And that means I rely on God. That means I rely on him without complete proof that he will. I just rely on God to know that God has got this. I told Bob this morning as we looked at the clock and the calendar, we started talking about Mother's Day and all the events and things that we're going to do today. And I said, I've got to pray the prayer of Hezekiah that God will stop the clock and give me time. But you know me, I don't care if the pot roast burns. We got to understand what our faith means. It's got to be sincere. It's got to be something that involves our trust in God. I told Bob numbers of times already this morning and several others, don't worry about the time. God's got this. Amen? Amen. I'd like another one, please. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. That gives me faith to continue. Genuine faith is sincere. Genuine faith involves trust. Genuine faith is active. See, you can't say that you got faith if you're not active in your faith. And what does that mean? Does that mean I come to church every Sunday? No, it doesn't mean that. It does mean you drop by occasionally. I like you to be here every Sunday, but it means that your faith is active. It shows up in your life. And before you overreact, you react with faith. Have you ever done that? Have you ever overreacted? Been a time or two in my life I have. Genuine faith, that is real faith, that is faith that trusts, that is sincere, is faith that is active. And that means that it treats others and all those around you and lets them know that your faith is very active, and it's very active when you make decisions. You ever had anybody say, think before you speak? If you're a person of faith, you ought to be sure that your faith is engaged before you speak. Because sometimes our faith is not engaged, we say things we wish we wouldn't have said. Sometimes we do things we wish we wouldn't have done. Sincere faith that trusts God, that is active faith, will make decisions based on that faith. Genuine faith is consistent. You say, well, you already talked about being sincere. Genuine faith is consistent. It doesn't disappear when things get tough. You ever done that? I know some mamas have. I think there was one or two times my mama, I know my daddy did. There were times when things got tough that I brought toughness on the family, that I brought difficulties to them. And I know there were times that my mom and dad kind of let the faith set aside there for a minute, because nobody with faith could do that to a person. If faith is real, it's consistent. In fact, it challenges often to really reveal whether our faith is real or just temporary. And if it's real, that means it's sincere and it's active and it's trusting and it's consistent in what we do. I think about genuine faith in a biblical definition of Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Two things call out to me from this verse that I've just read you in the book of Hebrews. And as I think about faith and hope, and I think about mothers, I think about the scripture I read to you at the beginning of this service, there's two things that jump out to me about faith and hope. The substance of things hoped for means that faith gives assurance and confidence that God will. No matter, mom, dad, no matter, parents, no matter, grandparents, no matter what's going on, if you exercise that genuine faith that I'm speaking of, you can rest assured that our God's got it. Amen. And he will take care of whatever matters might come in our life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That doesn't mean that I see them right now, but it's evidenced by things that are not seen. That means that faith really rests on the character and word of God. Let that sink in. My faith doesn't rest on what I think. My faith doesn't rest on my opinion. My faith rests on the word of God. And those big three remain, but so does the word of God, right? That it goes on and endures forever. Biblical faith is not wishful thinking. Biblical faith says it will. We may not see how, but we say that it will. In genuine faith, Paul says that, and he says it was passed on to Timothy by his grandmother and his mother. It's a trail of faith and hope that can be opened by mothers for their offspring to follow. So this genuine faith that Paul speaks about is sincerely trusting and actively consistent, watching after, looking after what God is doing. There will be from time to time a trail of faith that our children can follow. I was thinking about the early days of Northside Baptist Church when I was thinking about Mother's Day and thinking about the importance of women. Brother Don and I talked earlier in the week through text about a message he had in Sunday school this morning where Paul was talking about women be silent. I ain't preaching that. But I was thinking about when we started Northside, well, when I got here, Northside had started, but when I got here a few months or so after they got here, or the same time almost, they got in a little building over there, I remember that the women outnumbered the men. Thank God today it's hard for me to pick that majority out in this building today. Thank God that men have come along. But thank God for women who have cared to demonstrate that genuine faith to their children exactly as Eunice and Lois did to Timothy to help him come along. If you're going to go down this trail of faith, you got to have hope. That includes the kind of hope we saw demonstrated here a few minutes ago. I know every one of you in this building at one time or another, maybe you have experienced or you know someone that experienced children that are a bit wayward. I was a wayward child. And I know that my mother never stopped praying for me. And I know that her prayers were answered. My mother got somewhat wavered one time, and I got the chance to pray for her. And I got to see God answer those prayers. Hope is a valuable thing to have. It occurs to me that primarily that my hope and my faith in God is built on the fact of Jesus Christ. We discover this also. When we have faith and we have hope, the hope that we have, now watch this, it's kind of tricky. Some of y'all are sleeping on me because it's almost noon. I'm all finished. Watch this close. The hope that we have is sustained by the faith that we have. So it's kind of one of those circles that never stops. I have faith, I have hope. I have hope, I have faith. You follow? It just continues, and the faith that I have sustains the hope that I have that is created in me by the fact that I believe in God, certainly. Lois and Eunice had seen God do things. that they couldn't explain. And when you have genuine faith, what you do is begin to trust in God. And when you begin to trust in God, you begin to have that confident faith that doesn't change. You have that sincere faith that's real. So if I could challenge mothers here today with anything, I would challenge you to keep up the biblical hope, but at the same time to demonstrate that faith that's irreplaceable, faith that lasts, faith that stands. Biblical hope is confident, and its expectations are rooted in God's character and his promises, not what we think, but what God thinks. In the Bible, hope is something solid. It's assured, and even when circumstances are uncertain. I want to tell you one other thing, and I'll stop. The trail of faith and hope overcomes circumstances. You ever overcome any circumstances in your life? I was reading this story, and I got to thinking about this guy, Timothy. Got to thinking about his mother, his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. And the more I thought about them, I thought how little we see of them in Scripture. And then I got to thinking, now where did Timothy encounter Paul? Where did that happen? Well, we know that it happened on that first missionary journey when Paul went into that and he brought the gospel to Lystra and he brought it to Derbe. And when he did, there were two women there who apparently received Christ. We just think that because of when they put the history all together. So we think that on that first missionary journey, when Paul first started out preaching the gospel, Eunice and Lois came to believe in faith. They put their trust in Christ. Pure conjecture on my part. I think that it measures out good with Scripture. But then I want you to draw also your attention to Acts 16:1. Just listen. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman. Watch this now. Think about circumstances. Think about difficulties. The son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. So what's so world-shattering about that? Let me tell you about how hard it must have been. Now, those of you who might sit here today and think, boy, I'm unequally yoked, think about this. You got a woman married to a man who's a Greek, which made him a Gentile, and this woman is Jewish. She's taught her child in Old Testament Scripture right up until the day that he meets Jesus himself. They had passed their faith in Christ along to Timothy, and Timothy believes one day. Can you imagine what a problem that created for his daddy? Circumstances. People say, well, the people in the Bible, they don't have circumstances like I have. There's one for you. She had a circumstance in her life, and her faith carried her through that circumstance and let her see her son come to Christ, and in fact, be one of the greats of Scripture. I like what Paul says. Genuine faith can be modeled and followed after. Paul says of Timothy, I am persuaded that it is in you also, when he talked to Timothy. Paul said he could see faith and hope in Timothy because of the faith and hope that these two women had, and they had shown it to him in his childhood. So, Mom, faith can be modeled to your children. It can become a trail that they can follow after. It's got to meet the criteria that we listed when we talked about what genuine faith looks like. If it does, then it becomes an enticing something for some child wanting to do. They want to follow after your faith. Mom, when your children look to you for answers, I challenge you to point them to Jesus. Give them a trail of faith and hope that they can follow. And let me invite you to come on this trail of faith and hope. And if you're traveling already in life, stay in there. Mom, don't give up hope, because hope will keep you going when nothing else will. And then let me close with this. Look back at verses 6 and 7 of the text I read you to begin with. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Two things and I'm done. Keep stirring. Mom, keep stirring. Dad, keep stirring. Grandparents, keep stirring. Praying for that one that might be out there. Praying for that one that you'd like to see stronger. Maybe it's your husband. Whoever's in your life. Keep stirring the gospel. The Bible says you keep stirring the gift of God. And also, realize that the spirit that you have within you, the spirit that is Jesus Christ, the spirit that is the Holy Spirit, the spirit that is the Father, that's the fuel that runs life. You stay in there. You keep loving. You keep hoping. You keep demonstrating your faith. And surely as you do, those you're praying for and those you're wanting to see move will move. So I may not ever see that. Maybe not. But we're trusting God who sees all things and knows everything around the corner. I challenge you. Moms and dads, if you're not on this trail of faith and hope, you need to get on it. Because faith and hope will carry you through anything. It'll take you through the good, even better. Take you through the bad, better. It'll make life sweeter. Faith and hope in Jesus Christ. Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for all the things that have happened in this building today, Lord, from presenting flowers to our mothers, Lord, to presenting drama that would let us see how important our hope is, Lord. And Father, my hope today is that those under the sound of my voice have had and will have a great Mother's Day. God, because you'll remind them that no matter what's going on in their life, you're still the God of life. Lord, I pray for this time of invitation, but I invite your people just to think through their commitment to you. I pray, God, that each of us have a faith that is alive and well and moving. I pray, God, you bless this time of invitation for those who need to decide for you. Maybe some that are lost, and today that hope of a mother or a father has come through, and today's their day to come to Jesus. Maybe those, God, who've been off that trail, and truly some are hope sick, God, because those that they love are off that trail, and God, maybe today is that day that they'll come back and get in line with you. Maybe some, God, you've spoken to that on this day they should move and be a part of this church. Father, you do what you will, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? As we stand together, you come as God might lead you.